And I'd ask if you would to turn your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 28, Matthew's Gospel 28. I want to open by considering just one phrase from the last verse in Matthew's Gospel, a passage that we know as the Great Commission, but I just want to look in at one phrase as given to us there this evening. We're going to continue this evening considering some lessons from the risen Lord. And we'll look at some of the experiences of those who were confronted by the Lord after He rose from the dead and see if we can learn some lessons from those experiences that would be of help and encouragement to us as we seek to follow and serve Him. And from Matthew 28 and verse 20, we have these words, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wonderful promise from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, for just another verse, another well-known verse, Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 5, and there we read at the end of the verse, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you." What great promises from our Lord, aren't they? Let's just pause again and ask the Lord to help us as we open His Word this evening and see if we can learn from it. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that we have this opportunity this evening to open it and to consider it, and we pray that as we do so, You would challenge our hearts, stir us up to a deeper appreciation of our Savior and of all that He has done for us, help us to understand the implications of the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And Father, we pray that as we consider these experiences of men and women who have had an encounter with the risen Lord, that our hearts would be touched, that we would find encouragement and instruction and challenge from Your Word. And we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We had a wonderful lunch at the Torrens, and I want to thank them for that, and had a good time of fellowship there, but Andrew was bold enough to complain about my message this morning. It's not often when I go for supper and people are willing to do that. I'm sure there's lots of people who complain about my messages, but not usually to my face. He complained about my message. He said that I didn't give a challenge out as I had done, I guess, the last time I was here. Some little challenge for you to investigate and to look up on your own, and so I'm going to do that this evening, and it's primarily for your sake, but anybody else that would like to can take it up. I'm not going to do that right now because I think if I do that, I'll lose you all. You'll all be busy looking through your Bibles trying to find the answer to the little challenge I'm going to give up, but perhaps at the end of the message I'll close with a little bit of a challenge for something for you to consider. Some lessons from the living, from the risen Lord. Lessons from the risen Lord. We sang as our opening hymn this evening. I appreciated the singing of it again this evening. In fact, I had asked Duncan if we could sing it again, and thank you for doing that, because it really speaks to the point that I wanted to raise today, this morning, and even more so this evening. And I read the hymn over after we had sung it this morning, and I'd like to just refer to it again this evening, as I want to think about it a little bit. We sang this, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say." Let me tell you that I often sing hymns from our hymnal, hymns I love, old hymns of the faith, and I sing them heartily, and I love them, and I believe them. But let me tell you that there are times when I sing these hymns and I am challenged in my heart. Because I'm a little bit convicted about what I sing. I believe it. In a general sense, I believe it. But I have to acknowledge that there are times in my life, perhaps times of weakness, perhaps times when I'm stumbling a bit, when perhaps I'm left with some questions. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. That's true. But I can tell you that there are times in my life when I sometimes wonder, where is the Lord's voice? Why am I not hearing the Lord's voice now? I'm confronted by a problem. I'm faced with a situation. We have to make a decision. We have to follow a course. We need some direction from the Lord. And where is the Lord's direction in my life? And just the time I need Him, He's always near. That's the promise that we read from His Word, isn't it? Just the time I need Him, He's always near. Why is it that there are times in my life when I feel somehow the Lord isn't as near as I would like Him to be? I don't know if you can relate to those experiences on my part or not. I don't mean to imply that I don't know the nearness of the Lord or that I don't feel His presence with me. I do very much, in a very real way. But I think that I need to acknowledge, and perhaps you do too, that there are times when we don't feel that the Lord is as near as perhaps we know that He is. We just don't seem to feel it or understand it or appreciate it or realize it. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Oh yes, He does. But there are times. There are times when I don't feel His presence with me, and I don't seem to be hearing His voice, and I wonder why that is. What do these promises mean that the Lord has given us? These two that we have read from His Word, I am always with you. I am with you always. What does that mean in practical terms in our lives? What is the presence of the Lord with us always? We don't see the Lord in a physical sense walking with us. What does it mean that the Lord is with us always? Let me just tell you that, and I know that you know this, let me just remind you of the truth that the Lord's birth in Jerusalem was a very real event. It happened. It was an historical fact. Well documented. And His life as He lived and walked among men in Galilee and Judea was a very real event. That happened. It was actual, factual, and real. And His death on the cross was very real. That cross was real, and those nails that went through His hands, those were real nails. And the blood that flowed from His body was real blood shed for you and I. And He died a real death on the real cross at Calvary. And He was, in reality, truly buried. And the fact of His resurrection is exactly that, a fact. It's an historical fact. He did rise from the dead. That's a truth. And that is a reality. And the fact that He lives for us today at God's right hand is also real. And when He says that He is with us always, that too is real. That is a real truth. When He says in His Word that He is with us always, that isn't a theological position that we hold. That isn't a philosophical ideal that we cling to. It is a real truth that Jesus Christ is with us. And He has said in His Word, He has explained that He is with us always. He has explained that He has sent His Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit of God, He is with us always in our life. And we need to accept the fact that although we don't always feel His presence as closely as we ought to feel, it is nonetheless true that He is in reality with us always. And that's what He's promised. And it's truth. It's fact. It's real. What does it mean? And why is it that I don't always seem to experience it? He says that He is with us always, and I know in my head that it is true. It's a fact, but I don't seem to appreciate it always. I don't seem to live it always. And why is that? I want to think this evening with you of three people who saw the Lord, or rather three incidents, not just people, but three incidents who first didn't see the Lord. Three occasions when the Lord was there with His disciples, the risen Lord, there with His disciples, and they did not see Him. They did not appreciate the fact that He was there with them. And I think that as we look at the experience of these three events, that perhaps they can be of help to us in understanding why it is that we often don't see the Lord, or perhaps would challenge our hearts to recognize more fully and appreciate more completely that He is there with us always. That's what these three incidents point out. And these individuals involved in these three experiences came to understand that it was the Lord, and He was there, and He was with them, though they did not recognize Him. They did not see it. He was there with them. Look with me first, please, at Luke's Gospel, the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, 24. And here we have an event described in which the very real risen Lord was present with two people as they walked upon the road, and the two did not recognize it. They didn't see Him. Now, this is a fairly long passage. I'd like to read from verse 13. We'll read down to verse 27. And this is the account of two on the road to Emmaus. I was, just as a little aside, interested in reviewing this chapter recently to find some interesting expressions in this chapter that would form a good little outline for message. You might want to consider it. Sometime. I was noticing in verse 4 that we have two men who stood. Two men stood. And then in verse 13, where we begin to reading, we find that two men walk. And just a verse earlier in verse 12, we read about two men who ran. In fact, there's just one listed here, but we know from John's Gospel that there are two. Two men who stood, two men who walked, and two men who ran. I don't think we'll look at that next week, but maybe we will. It's an interesting little lessons in there from those phrases and teachings that we can draw from them. But that's not what we're looking at tonight. In verse 13, the two on the road to Emmaus. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. I don't understand that verse. I don't understand how these disciples of the Lord could be there in His presence and not recognize Him as He spoke with them and talked with them. I don't know whether this was some miraculous work of the Lord in preventing them from seeing Him, or whether for some other reason their eyes were clouded, perhaps of their own account, and they did not recognize Him. I don't know. I don't understand how it was. But the Bible tells me that these two walked with the Lord for miles and talked with Him and communed with Him and didn't realize that it was the Lord. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' They told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Here we have a picture of two walking along the road. I would suggest to you that we might understand these two to be sad and confused and dejected. In fact, we read that they are sad. Verse 17 says that the Lord responded to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Some of you might have in your translations and understand perhaps more accurately, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Interesting question of the Lord. In each of the three incidents that we're going to consider this evening, there is a question raised by the Lord, a question that might challenge our hearts. And this is one that the Lord raised to these individuals. What kind of conversation? What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? Here were two individuals who were going back to restore their daily life to normal routine. They were leaving all of the events, the Passover and the celebration that went on in that time, and then the tragedy in their eyes of the death of the Lord, their Messiah, and all of these things were milling about in their minds, but now they were returning to their normal life. They were heading home, back to their day-to-day life. They were walking along the road and talking to one another and looking ahead, I suppose, to what was to transpire in the week ahead, the things they had lined up that had to be done, the normal routine of life. And there they were confronted with facing their life without the leadership of the one that they had come to know and love. Saddened in heart. Dejected. And discouraged. Their Messiah was dead. Their Redeemer was crucified. Their prophet was silenced. They had anticipated a mighty prophet, a Redeemer who would deliver the people Israel. They felt no power. They had seen the working of God's power through the Lord Jesus Christ, and now He was gone, and they were left powerless. They were left without comfort. They had no doubt experienced the teaching and ministry of the Lord as He went about providing comfort and encouragement to the people, but He was gone, and they had no comfort. They felt despondent and discouraged. They felt leaderless. The one who had given them direction and guidance was gone. And they seemed that they were now left to face life alone. Furthermore, we find their condition is such that they didn't understand. They didn't understand the events that took place. They were confused by the message from the women who came back saying the tomb was empty, the body was gone. They couldn't understand what was going on, and it made it all the more tragic for them. And they couldn't even grieve properly as they might otherwise have done. And even more, they were confused, we read, by the fact that they didn't understand the Scriptures. And the Lord made that clear as He walked along the road with them. They didn't understand. They didn't understand the text of Scripture that talked about what the Messiah was to do and what was to come. And that was their situation. As they went ahead, facing the week before them, trying to go back to their normal day-to-day routine. And I wonder if we can't relate in some small way to their experience, because there are times in our lives when we feel discouraged. There are times in our lives when we feel downcast and we are sad. There are certainly times in my life when I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm puzzled over things that I read. I don't understand the Scriptures as I should. I don't understand why events are taking place in my life. There are times when I am feeling that the Lord isn't close, as I mentioned earlier. There are times I can relate to these two as they walked upon the road, and I wonder if there are times when you can too. And we're left to face the day-to-day routine of life with these problems and difficulties confronting us. But of course, what we need to note is that the Lord was with them. The great encouragement for you and I is that the truth of the matter is that the Lord was walking with them, and they just didn't see it. And I am challenged as I read this with that very simple and fundamental lesson, that when I'm faced in my life with sadness and discouragement and confusion and grief and sorrow and difficulties and problems, when I'm faced with problems understanding the Scripture, and I'm faced with feelings of loneliness and some distance from God, I need to recognize that though I don't see Him, He is there. He's there with me. He has said He will never leave me. And He is there. And that promise from the Lord is real. And He is really there, even if I don't see Him. And He was really there, walking with these two, though they did not see Him. He was there. He was there to give encouragement and comfort and direction, just as He was promised that He would do. It's interesting to see how the Lord did reveal Himself to them, isn't it? Notice that He first revealed Himself kind of indirectly, didn't He? Through the Scriptures. He explained from the Scriptures the things concerning Himself, and their hearts burned within them as He explained these things to them. And I would suggest to you that in times in our life when perhaps we're not appreciating and understanding the Lord's presence with us, that we would be wise to go back to the Scriptures and look at them again, because His presence with us, He is present with us, and He will reveal Himself to us through the Scriptures. He will, I believe, as He did with these disciples on the road, help us to see Him in the verses that we read from His holy word. He will reveal Himself to us. And then He revealed Himself more completely in the breaking of the bread. How marvelous. And how can we but be paused to stop and to think about the breaking of the bread? And be challenged to recognize the Lord as we meet to break the bread. And I know that I am challenged to the heart. When I think back on the experiences of my life, when I have met together with the Lord's people and broken bread, and I, in head knowledge, yes, but in the heart, no, I didn't see the Lord. I didn't see the Lord in the breaking of the bread. But you know, it was not any the less true that He was there, and He is there, and He's present with us always. Whether we see Him or not, He is there in a very real way. I think that we need to remember, we need to recognize that it is true, and it is real, and it is fact, that He is always with us. And especially so when we come to gather and remember the Lord, we need to remember that He is there. We need to be open to His working in our life, to His voice, to His communion with us. As these were open to the fellowship with the Lord as they walked upon the road, so we need to be open to Him working in our hearts and in our lives. And as we open ourselves to communion with the Lord, the risen Lord, I believe that He will make Himself known to us. He will reveal Himself to us. We will see Him with us, and especially as we fellowship around His table, how much richer our times would be if we would make a greater effort to see Him, to commune more with Him in order that we might know His presence as we fellowship in remembrance of Him at His table, how rich our times of communion could be. We would do that more regularly and faithfully. He was present with them. Time is nearly gone, and I have two other little accounts I want to relate to you. Let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Last chapter of John's Gospel. And we read this chapter this morning and thought a little bit about events from this chapter. And so I won't read the whole thing again tonight. I know that not all of you were here this morning, but we looked at the events in this chapter and learned some lessons from it. I want to just think a little bit about these disciples by the Sea of Galilee again, as the Lord appeared to them, and they were out on the lake fishing. And we read in verse 4, "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore." And this curious statement, "Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." Again, I don't understand that. As I mentioned this morning, I don't know why they didn't recognize their Lord. Even as He spoke to them, they didn't recognize Him. I don't know, again, if their eyes were prevented from seeing Him. Maybe the Lord prevented it. Maybe it was some failing on their own part. Maybe it was simple geography. The distance was too great. I don't know. I don't know why. But they did not recognize the Lord. He was there with them, talking to them. They didn't recognize it. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" And they answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." It is the Lord. They recognized the presence of their Lord. You know, if we can learn from Luke chapter 24 that He is present in our daily walk, then we should recognize with these disciples as they catch this great draught of fish and have this great blessing from the Lord that He is present too in the achievements and accomplishments of life. He is present. He is present there. And He is with us. We talked about the blessing that God provided for these individuals this morning, and we're not going to go into that again in depth tonight, but we recognize that God blessed these fishermen out there floundering in the water, out there unsuccessful in trying to catch a few fish, trying to get a meal together for themselves perhaps, in their need, when they were hungry. The Lord came and blessed them, and the Lord was with them in their time of blessing. The Lord was with them. The Lord was present with them in their accomplishments of life. And we need to recognize as well as the fact that the Lord is with us in our daily walk, that when things happen in our life for our benefit and our blessing, that the Lord is present there, and to give Him acknowledgement and glory for the things that He achieves in us and through us in our efforts for Him. Do we recognize Christ in the blessings and successes He grants? Do we know Christ by His work in our life? You know, it's interesting to me that John, upon catching this great draught of fish, recognized the Lord. He didn't recognize the Lord by noticing on shore that there's some similarity there to the Lord that he knew. He didn't even recognize Him, I would take from the reading this passage, by the sound of the voice and saying, "I know that voice." He recognized the Lord by the work that the Lord did. He caught a great draught of fish and he said, "This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord." And I wonder if we recognize the Lord by the work that He's doing in our life. You know, I'm a renovator, and I work with a good crew of guys, and we have several carpenters on our staff. And they all have their own little specialties. And as I arrive on the job and I see a closet framed up as I did this week, I can look at that closet and I say, "That's Ray did that. Ray built that." I recognize the hammer marks. That's his hammer. I recognize the nailing gun that he has and the nails that it gives. And I recognize the way the thing is built. That's Ray's work. And that over there, Steve Patinsky did that. I recognize the trim work and the way that he did it and the way he does his corners and the way he toenails. That's his work. I recognize them by the work that they do. And John recognized the Lord by the work that he did in his life. Do we know our Lord that well? That when blessings come our way in life and when we see things working out in our life, we can look at it and say, "That's the Lord's work in my life. That's my Lord." We need to recognize Him. He is present with us in the achievements and accomplishments and blessings that come our way by His grace in our life. The last incident that I'd like to relate to you is from chapter 20 of John's Gospel. Yes, we need to recognize Jesus walking with us in our daily lives as they did in Luke 24, and we need to recognize Jesus present with us in the accomplishments of life, but we need to recognize Jesus too as present with us in times of crisis and distress. As Mary Magdalene did, verses 11 to 18, chapter 20 of John's Gospel, that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Notice from verse 1 of chapter 20 that on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. We understand from the context of the passage and from what Scripture describes and explains that Mary Magdalene was distraught, that she was in grief at the loss of one that she loved, and how her heart was weighed down with the burden, the death of her Lord. And now she arrives at the tomb to grieve for the one that she has lost, and she finds that the body has been stolen, she would think. It's gone. And she doesn't understand. And the grief and the sorrow and the despair that she had felt is multiplied so many times over now by the fact that this disturbance has come her way, and the tears are flowing, and in deep distress and grief she finds two angels in the tomb. Verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Another interesting question. But she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Here again we have the case of an individual who is confronted by the risen Lord. The risen Lord was there with her, present with her, in front of her, before her. She did not recognize him. She did not know it. She didn't see him. I don't know again why that was. Perhaps her eyes were just so full of tears that she was not physically able to identify the Lord. I don't know. But Scripture says that she did not know it was the Lord. And I know that in times of distress and sorrow in our lives, it is often on those occasions when we fail to see the Lord with us, don't we? We feel so all alone. We struggle and we say, "Lord, why do you seem so far? Why is this burden so heavy?" But we need to recognize, as Mary did, that the Lord is there. His promise is real. He will never leave us. He is there. He is there in times of grief, in times of distress, in times of sorrow and anguish. He is there as he was for Mary. He is there. He is there for us in times of difficulty and distress. Whom are you seeking? She was seeking the Lord. And how often we are seeking the Lord, when in reality He is right there. He is right there with us. And I hope that as we reflect on the experiences of these three events, that it might be a help to us. When we feel the Lord is distant, we might be reminded of these truths explained by these events and understand and appreciate that though perhaps there are times when we don't feel it, we know that He is there. And as we come to recognize that and to realize it, and as we come to see Him, as we come to visualize Him, as He is revealed to us, we will find comfort. We will find encouragement. We will find instruction. We will find strength and power. We will find victory in our walk and in our life and service for Him. Pray that these thoughts might be of help to you, might be a benefit as you seek to serve your Savior and to live for Him. I had mentioned that I'd give a little challenge for those who are interested, for Andrew and for the others. I just mentioned that I challenge you to find for me five. There are five reasons that the Lord gave for His upper room ministry. John chapter 13 through 17. And I challenge you to see if you can find those in your own study privately. They're all centered around the phrase or similar phrase to "these things I have said that." I said these things that. Five reasons the Lord gives for presenting that ministry. So there you are, a little challenge for you to look up. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the experiences that we have read of this evening of these disciples, these followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen how they searched for the Lord when in fact He was very present with them. They felt distant from Him, and yet He was right there by their side. And Father, we pray that this might be instructive to us, it might be of encouragement and comfort to us, that we might know in a more tangible way the reality of the truth that Jesus is with us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He is with us always. Help us to understand and appreciate that that is a very real truth, and to live our lives accordingly, drawing upon the strength that He provides. And we thank You for that great promise from Your holy word. We thank You in our Savior's precious name. Amen.